chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to what the Book of Mormon has to say about polygamy, the very thing that Joseph Smith was involved in. Jacob 2:24. Behold, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord. And now Joseph Smith is condemned by his own book. If I was a Mormon, that'd be it. Wouldn't have to go any further for me. That would do it. What's so interesting is the fact that this book contradicts this one, which is all we can expect anyhow. It says over here, I just read it, that David and Solomon had many wives, and that was an abomination before God. Now, Doctrine and Covenants 132. Let me read verse 1. Section 132, verse 1. Verily, thus saith the Lord, unto you, my servant Joseph, that inasmuch as you have inquired of my hand to know and understand wherein I, the Lord, justified my servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also Moses, David, and Solomon, my servants, as touching the principle and doctrine of their having many wives and concubines. Did you get that? David and Solomon, according to this book, were justified because they had many wives and concubines. This one says that was an abomination before God. Which one's wrong? Mormons? There has to be at least one wrong. But of course we know they're both wrong, because they contradict God's word. This is our standard, our objective standard, so therefore we know it's wrong. There are so many things that Joseph Smith did. He violated the word of wisdom, which is found in Doctrine and Covenants 89. He drank wine and beer. I could cite the references. He contradicted the Book of Mormon, as cited in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, compiled by Joseph Fielding Smith, page 345. We read this. Smith said, "We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see." So he just refuted Moroni 8:18 when he said what he did. Another problem for our Mormon friends. He claims that he saw God the Father in one of his visions. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:16, would you please just take a minute and turn there? 1 Timothy 6:16, referring to the Heavenly Father, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. John 5:37 and 1 John 4:20 says the same. Did you know that the devil can produce visions? Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 teach that, and so does Jeremiah 14:14. So the devil can produce visions, and don't you know that the devil is not going to come as the devil, because he's a deceiver. He's going to come as the Lord Jesus, or perhaps as the Heavenly Father, or any way he can to deceive. Okay, now it's reported among the Mormons that Smith was martyred because Doctrine and Covenants 135 verse 4 says that he's going like a lamb to the slaughter. The only problem is Smith wasn't martyred. He died in a shootout, John Wayne style. They were really blasting away at one another, and he killed at least two men before he was shot to death. History of the Church, volume 7, pages 100 to 103. Stephen is a prime example of a martyr, and he never offered up any resistance, did he? Okay, let me just say a few quick things about the Book of Mormon before I wrap up my message. We had last month with us Brother Ed Havich. He wrote into the National Geographic Society regarding the Book of Mormon, and this is what we read. Listen to this. Quote, this is from the National Geographic Society. Quote, I referred your inquiry to Dr. George Stewart, the staff archaeologist of the National Geographic Society. He informed me that neither the Society nor any other institution of equal prestige has ever used the Book of Mormon in locating archaeological sites. Although many Mormon sources claim the Book of Mormon has been substantiated by archaeological findings, this claim has not been verified scientifically. Unquote. How about the Smithsonian Institute? Maybe they would give something contrary to the National Geographic Society. Well, the Smithsonian Institute, and you could write in if you'd like to Washington, D.C. and pick up the same report. They say that, quote, the American Indians had no wheat, barley, oats, millet, rice, cattle, pigs, chickens, horses, donkeys, camels, etc. before 1492. The only problem is the Book of Mormon refers to horses before the time period of 1492. And that's found in Alma chapter 18, verse 9. And then the Smithsonian Institute goes on. It states, iron, steel, glass, and silk were not used in the New World before 1492. Well, this book refers to steel in 1 Nephi 4:9. So, the archaeologist would point an accusing finger at the Book of Mormon and say, it's not reliable. The Bible points an accusing finger at Joseph Smith and says he's not reliable. Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and Book of Mormon is not reliable. You don't have to go any further than that. Who really cares what the Smithsonian Institute would say? All we have to do is go to the Word of God. And by the law of non-contradiction, there's a definite contradiction between the two. We don't have to pray about the Book of Mormon. We don't have to pray about Joseph Smith. We don't have to pray about the Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups like that. If they're teaching something contrary to the Word of God, we don't have to wonder about it. We know positively cannot be from God. The Book of Mormon is allegedly the most accurate, correct book in all the world. Well, I hold in my hand here a book that has recorded only 3,913 changes from the original Book of Mormon. I wonder how in the world the most correct book in all the world could be corrected 3,913 times. Why would it be corrected? It's supposed to be the most correct book. There's the evidence. Is it worth the investigation? Well, tell me, is eternal life worth it? Salvation worth it? Eternity is a long time. It's worth any price to find out what the truth is and cling tenaciously to it. The most shocking testimony against the Book of Mormon is the fact that the Book of Mormon states that its message is untrustworthy. That's right, you heard me correctly. It states that its message is untrustworthy. I'll prove it to you. 1 Nephi 19, verse 6 says, they may have erred. Ether 5:1 states that they wrote from memory. Jacob 7:26 and Mormon 9:32 states they wrote to the best of their knowledge. Mormon 8:1 and Jacob 1:2 states they wrote as a result of human command. Jacob 1:2 also states that they wrote what they considered precious, which implies imperfection in the record. And that is exactly what Mormon 9:32 and 33 states, which is contrary to the Bible. Jesus said, not a jot or tittle can pass away, all will be fulfilled. He said, Scripture cannot be broken. He said, when praying to the Father in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Paul said in Romans 3:2, what advantage is there in being a Jew? Much in every way. They have been entrusted with the very words of God, referring to the Old Testament. Peter said, Paul's writings are Scripture, 2 Peter 3:16. And he knew Scripture was final authority. 2 Timothy 3:16, Scripture is given for correction, doctrine, training, and righteousness, and reproof. So the report of the Bible about the Bible is that believe every word, every little small detail, because everything will be fulfilled. The report about the Book of Mormon about itself is that you can't believe it. It's not reliable. It's not trustworthy. Condemns Joseph Smith. Contradicts this book. Preaches another gospel. You have to pray about this book? Why in the world should we pray about this book? Do you know why the Mormons will go to hell unless they get saved? You know, it's not because they believe Joseph Smith is a true prophet. It's not because they believe the Book of Mormon is Scripture. It's because they're not born again. But you see, because they believe Joseph Smith is a true prophet and the Book of Mormon is Scripture, that's why they're not born again. Because they're believing a lie. The only way we can be saved, there's but one way. I like the way the Kenneth Wiest Expanded Translation renders John 14:6. Jesus said in that translation, "I alone, in contradistinction to all others, am the road, the way, and the life. No one is coming to the Father but by me." Nobody. So, the only way that we can escape a blazing inferno, Revelation 20:15, where most people will go, Matthew 7:13 and 14 teaches, is to come to Jesus. The same way everyone that got saved. And that is humbly from our heart, realizing that we are a wretched, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner in desperate need of His mercy. You have to be willing to surrender your life to Him and trust Him alone for your salvation. Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's worth it. Any price. You have to die to live. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me and for the gospel, Jesus said, you'll save your life. Well, let me ask all of you, and I mean it, is there any reason that anybody should be a Mormon? Yeah. If anybody in here thinks that they should change over to Mormonism, would you please open up? Let's have a discussion. Why do you think you should change over to Mormonism if anybody in here believes that way? Anybody in here think that Mormonism is correct? Anybody believe that Mormonism is anything but of the devil? Anybody believe that Mormonism can do anything for you but send you to hell, if you believe it? Let me ask you a question. Why do you think people would hear a message like this and not change their belief about Mormonism? When the evidence is stacked up, and I only shared a small part of what I could say about Mormonism. Why do you think somebody could hear a message like this and not change? Sister?
Probably because they know someone that's a good friend of theirs, or maybe members of their family have been Mormons. And because of that, you know, all those generations of Mormons, they don't want to change because they think it is right because their relatives were Mormons.
Okay, that's a very good answer. Anyone else? Brother?
It says in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them." So people have been blinded by the devil.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Because we're afraid to admit that we might be wrong.
Okay. I know I used to be a rock-hard, solid, stubborn, bull-headed Roman Catholic. And I want you to know it didn't come easy when I started reading the Bible. I saw some things that went cross-grained to my teachings, what my parents taught me. And it was a bitter, bitter, bitter pill to swallow. The truth hurts when you're in darkness. Tears were shed when I left the Catholic Church, but I want you to know it was one of the best things I ever did. I clung to the truth, and Jesus lifted me, and He's still lifting me, thank God. And I sip some of that living water that only He can give. And glory be to Jesus. That emptiness in my life has been filled. Only the Lamb of God can do it. Glory be to God. Jesus said, John chapter 18, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. The Word of God is truth. So everyone that accepts the message of the Word of God, they're on the side of truth. They'll be saved. People that reject the message of the Bible, they'll believe a lie and be damned. Sister?
So what happened to you? Did some different people just keep sharing with you that made you have to keep looking at it, or what?
Sister, I get saved by reading the Bible. I read Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and after Jesus taught that two went up into the temple to pray, and the one that prayed went directly to God for himself, went home justified. I dropped down on my knees. I told God I was sorry for all the many wicked things I had been doing, and I told Him I was willing to stop right there. And I told Him I would serve Him not only in this life, but throughout all eternity, and I asked Him to have mercy on me, and that's when I got saved. I didn't even know I was getting saved at that point in time. Got up, kept reading the Bible, and I look back, I know that's when I was saved. But what helped bring me out of Catholicism was my faith was challenged. My brother was a Jehovah's Witness, and he would challenge my faith. He wanted me to be a Jehovah's Witness. We stayed up already all night till dawn discussing the Bible. He lives up in New York, and we wouldn't see each other very often. But when we'd see one another, we'd spend time discussing the Word. And that's exactly what Paul did. He dialogued from the Scriptures. And I'd like to dialogue with anybody in here that thinks that they should remain a Mormon or change over to Mormonism. Anybody in here like that? Vanessa, do you know anybody like that? Okay, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but this is very important. You know, about a month and a half ago, the Lord laid this message on my heart for tonight. I didn't know you'd be here. The Lord did. Okay.
None of these tapes are copyrighted, and you have our permission and are encouraged to reproduce them for free distribution. For a complete catalog of other available tapes and materials, please write Evangelical Outreach, Box 265, Washington, PA 15301.